Our second lesson is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 22. This is in the middle of John's story of Easter, after Christ has been raised from the dead. So this is John chapter 20, starting at verse 19. It was still the first day of the week. That evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors because they were afraid of the religious authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. When the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today we are celebrating Pentecost at John's house, as in the Gospel of John. Usually we celebrate Pentecost at Luke's house, since the Gospel writer Luke is the one who wrote that boisterous and amazing account of Pentecost that Jack Berg just read a moment ago. Luke is the one who tells us about the flames of fire on the apostles' heads. So that's why, again, we often ask worshipers to wear red. Sometimes at Pentecost, we invite people to speak in multiple foreign languages, because as in Luke's account, where everyone present was able to hear what the apostles were saying in their own native language. Both of those traditions are inspired by Acts chapter 2. So Luke's version of Pentecost is crowded and noisy. The crowd of 3,000 people gives Luke's Pentecost celebration more of a megachurch feel to it. But today, we're celebrating Pentecost at John's house. The late preacher and wonderful storyteller Fred Craddock once called John's account the softer side of Pentecost. And in many ways, having Pentecost at John's house does seem like a quieter Presbyterian version of Pentecost where everything is done decently and in order. And I think it's also an honest, tell-it-like-it-is Pentecost. Think about everything that's happened to the disciples by the time we get to John chapter 20. It's after Easter. Jesus has been raised from the dead, but the news is still so fresh they don't know what to do with it. They're afraid. So they huddle once again in an upper room, hiding behind a closed door. They're afraid of the religious authorities. They have no idea how things are going to play out. And they're not only frightened, they're also winded and out of breath. After all, it takes a lot of breath to be on the run all the time. And I believe that we need our own version of an honest, tell-it-like-it-is Pentecost. We may not be afraid for our lives like the disciples were, but we're concerned about the future. Many of us remember a time when all the pews were full and the church seemed to enjoy a more privileged place in our culture, but it's not like that anymore, and it hasn't been for a while. And we don't know what the church will be like several years from now. We aren't always sure how to react to our changing circumstances, and I think that we too might be feeling a little out of breath. And then what happens? Pentecost comes. Jesus breathes on the disciples and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That's Pentecost in the Gospel of John, just those four words. Instead of the mighty wind that we get in Luke's story of Pentecost, what we get in John's story is Jesus breathing on the disciples and saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit." It's a gentler, quieter Pentecost. Or so it may seem at first. After all, how gentle can it be if Jesus has to breathe on the disciples with enough force to give them new life? When Jesus breathes on the disciples, he is exhaling the Ruach of God. It's a Hebrew word that can mean breath, wind, spirit, and life all at once. It's also a great example of onomatopoeia because it sounds like what it's describing. It sounds like a windy word. Ooh. And so when Jesus breathes on the disciples, it's not a modest little exhale. When Jesus breathes out on the disciples, it is a ach of God that goes all the way back to the beginning of time when the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters in the creation story. It goes back to the ruach that parted the Red Sea so that Moses and the Israelites could cross. It goes back to the ruach in Ezekiel that reanimated an entire valley of dry bones. All that in one breath. I think that a ruach with that much force might not have been that gentle. But I do believe it was healing, and that it is healing. And it's exactly the healing force that we need. And John's story of Pentecost is a story of hope for any church, any group that might be feeling tired and out of breath. Many people worry that the church, our congregation included, doesn't have the resources that it once had. And then comes the breath, ruach, of Jesus breathing on us. And we find ourselves saying, let's give thanks to God for all the gifts of talent, people, and resources that we do have. Many grieve the fact that the church doesn't have the large number of children and youth that it once had. And then, ruach, here comes Jesus breathing on us, reanimating us, giving us back our wind after we'd lost our wind. And then we say, let's give thanks to God for all the children and youth that we do have, and let's give thanks to God for all the people we have of all ages. Let us give thanks to God for all the children of God who are gathered here and will be gathered here. A few years ago, before I became pastor, the session of Covenant Presbyterian Church studied a book called Sailboat Church by Joan Gray. Joan Gray is a Presbyterian pastor. She once served as moderator of the General Assembly, which happened to be the same General Assembly that I attended as a commissioner. And she was preaching on this topic long before her book was published, because I remember her saying this back in 2006. But she noted that if you visit the catacombs in Rome, that you'll see that the ancient Roman Christians painted murals in which they depicted the early church gathered together in a sailboat. A sailboat. Not a rowboat. The image of a rowboat implies the church is trying to row solely on its own power, which leads to fatigue, frustration, and failure. Not a rowboat, but a sailboat. A sailboat, on the other hand, is powered by the great ruach of God, the breath of Jesus. That is what gave the early church its life, and that is what gives the church its life today. So if someone asks you how things are going at Covenant Presbyterian Church, you could say, we have our challenges, we have our opportunities, and we've got the breath of Jesus breathing down our backs and putting the wind back in our sails. So I'd like to invite us to practice a little ruach of our own. I invite us to do some Holy Spirit breath prayers. And the idea of a breath prayer is that you say or think a phrase as you inhale, and then you say or think a phrase as you exhale. And then when our prayer becomes synchronized with our breathing, then in a sense we are praying without ceasing, as 1 Thessalonians 5:17 invites us to do. And if you want to know more about that, you can find this little book called The Way of the Pilgrim, where this pilgrim travels all over Russia trying to learn what it means to pray without ceasing. And then finally, he finds a Russian monk who teaches him the breath prayer. So here's a warm-up. And again, you can blow on the pinwheel as you exhale if you want. So on the inhale, say, breathe in, Holy Spirit. And on the exhale, breathe out my anxiety. And many of the breath prayers have four phrases. You inhale on the first, exhale on the second, inhale on the third, and exhale on the fourth. So here's another one we can try. As you inhale, Holy Spirit, exhale, breathe on me, inhale and fill me with your mighty wind. We'll pray that again. Holy Spirit, breathe on me and fill me with your mighty wind. Here's another one. Holy Spirit, take away my fear so that I can be a peaceful presence. Holy Spirit, take away my fear so that I can be a peaceful presence. You can pray these again whether you have a pinwheel or not. Here's one more. Holy Spirit, fill me up, give me strength, and guide all my steps. Holy Spirit, fill me up, give me strength, and guide all my steps. And this last one is a prayer for the church, for Covenant Presbyterian Church, the church worldwide. It's a prayer for each and every one of us. On the inhale, Holy Spirit. Exhale, come to us. Inhale, kindle in us the fire of your love. Holy Spirit, come to us. Kindle in us the fire of your love. Holy Spirit, come to us. Kindle in us the fire of your love. I invite us to spend a few moments in silent prayer, praying for the Spirit to give us the strength or whatever gift we may need at this moment, and also prayers for our church, prayers that the Spirit will give our church the gifts and the wisdom for this moment in our history. So I invite us to pray silently for a moment.